Too young to die and never too old to BSN on this week's Insights in Nursing. Hi, this is Jamie Davis, and I'm here with another special episode of Insights in Nursing. I'm really excited today because today's episode was an idea that came about through a discussion I had with Terry Schmidt, who was talking about perhaps it would be a great idea to talk about education and bring on some of her RN to BSN students to share their thoughts about going from, you know, being a nurse already and advancing your practice to another degree level, just achieving another degree, whatever the case may be. And so I'm really excited to have them on the show today. First off, I have to introduce, of course, Terry Schmidt here. And Terry, it's great to have you on the show. Thanks for such a great idea.
Oh, thank you, Jamie, for letting my students do that. And it's great to be here.
Well, it's always great to have you on, and I'm looking forward to this discussion. Now, we have two students on. We have Teresa Heron. And Teresa, why don't you briefly just tell us a little bit about your nursing background?
All right. Well, this is a second career for me. I was originally a wildlife biologist, stopped doing that, raised children, was attracted to the science and the patient care aspect of nursing, went back in 1994 and got at that time a diploma degree from St. John's School of Nursing, graduated in 1996 and had worked with that up until a year and a half, 2 years ago when my position I'm in required further education. So I am almost 56 years old, so this has been fun for me, but it's certainly challenging. I know we'll talk about that more later.
We will. And I want to tell you, I mean, I this is a second career for me as well. I wasn't even originally in the healthcare field. But then when I did get into healthcare, I was a paramedic first and then just loved learning about healthcare and continued on into nursing. So I completely understand at the age of 45 getting another degree, it was just completely I was unprepared to have to make that leap and do that again, so I completely understand. We also have Kurt Harder on. Kurt's on another one of Terry's students. And Kurt, why don't you share a little bit about your background in nursing?
My background in nursing is I graduated in 92 with a diploma. I was kind of towards the tail end of all the diploma programs in the nation. I've been at the healthcare institution I'm at for 25 years, started here when I was 16 years old mowing the grass. So this is the only healthcare organization I know anything about. Started BSN program after 3 years of being an RN, got out of it when we had children, and I got back into it 1 year ago. I've got about a year to go now. So it's been a lot different because up to that point, all of my learning had taken place seated, and now there are very few seated classes. So it's been a little bit of a learning curve for me.
Now I'm going to ask you, what do you mean by seated classes and non-seated classes?
I'm talking about their traditional go to the classroom and sit down for 2 hours versus get on an internet and take classes on by way of the internet.
Now, Terry, Teresa, do you do the distance learning aspect as well?
Yes, it's the online learning, and I agree completely with Kurt. That's been it has definite pluses, but that has been my biggest challenge of all as learning to maneuver through all the different programs and all the uploads and downloads and submissions. And I think Terry can attest as my instructor, my challenges to formatting my papers, things like that.
So it seems like online nursing, I know a lot of programs around there, and they seem to be the perfect fit for a lot of returning nurses, I think partly because of just the time management and dedication that a nurse has to have to be a working nurse to begin with, fits itself perfectly to that type of a program. Terry, what has been your experience? You're the instructor in this type of a program. What are your thoughts?
Well, I have a biased opinion because I teach in an online program. I used to teach in a seated program, and the advantages I have seen is, one, we've been able to pull in students who wouldn't normally have been able to come back to school. And number two, the other thing I've seen in that is that the students have learned to navigate technology better, which helps them in the workplace. And the third thing is that they communicate and work with each other and network in ways in an online class that never happens in a seated class, because you're there, somebody puts up a PowerPoint, they lecture, you come in for a test, you take your written exam, and these students, interestingly enough, become very cohesive and speak their minds in discussion boards, and it's very much more a two-way relationship. They are my peers. Just because I'm teaching the class doesn't negate the fact that they're a nurse and I'm a nurse, and so it very much becomes a dichotomous relationship.
There's a big word, the dichotomous relationship.
That's right.
Does she use big words like that all the time?
All the time. We never understand her.
Now, have you all listened to, Kurt and Teresa, have you listened to any of the programs before?
No, this whole thing since I started this class is totally foreign to me. So I have, just in the past 4 or 5 weeks, I've learned a lot as to what is out there. So... No, I can tell I am way behind the curveball here.
Well, don't feel bad. I think it's generational.
Are you saying I'm old?
Well, Jamie, what they're talking about is they're an informatics class right now. It's a required class. You know, it's new.
I'm teaching it for our local college's healthcare program. I'm actually teaching the introduction to health careers class starting next fall. And it's a new class that we created. I created with the director of nursing. I don't know. I think you've been on before when Christy Dreyer was on.
Yeah.
So Christy has been wanting to do something to help the people that come in for the different healthcare programs of careers and certifications. So we're doing a seminar course that not only indoctrinates them to learn a little bit more about healthcare field, but also how to do the different types of hybrid courses that are out there.
Yeah, that's good. We actually have a foundations course that they take, the new students coming in, that helps with those things. But assignment 3 in informatics is not only will they have to go to the library and make a netbook, they can also watch either CNET or listen to an Insights in Nursing and write about it for their...
Ooh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, Jamie.
Well, and there's a lot of good shows, and I'm it's interesting to see that more and more people are finding it. So, Teresa, are you the one that said something about having to move forward to your BSN because your workplace required it? I think that was you that mentioned that.
Well, it's funny. I always kind of used it as a reason why I didn't have to move on. So I could say, oh, I don't have a bachelor's. I'm really not qualified. But that became a lame excuse when they told me, that's okay, we're patient, you go ahead and accept the position and we'll wait for you to get your BSN. So I kind of was forced into the position. But looking back, it was the right thing for me to do. And Terry has this quote from Eleanor Roosevelt at the bottom of all of her emails. That what is it that it says, Terry?
I'm looking at it right now. Do one thing every day that scares you. I've noticed that on your emails, Terry.
That I need to make a embroidered plaque and put in my office, because that's how I feel about this class. Is it scares me. I'm definitely afraid of losing my papers. I forced myself to use Dropbox when my computer started acting up, and the thought frightened me. So I close my eyes and I push the button and it works. And to me, it's magic, but I know it's not really. But so I have been forced to do every step of the way, but I wouldn't change a thing.
I'm concerned, I think, a little bit that the nursing population out there seems to be not as savvy when it comes to online learning resources like podcasts, like online videos, things like that, as much as other healthcare professions. And I don't know why that is, because certainly nurses are using technology in the hospitals.
You know, I think they're using technology in the hospital. I agree with that wholeheartedly. The other, I think part of it is some of them are, by the time they get home after a 12-hour shift, they are wiped out. And really, at that point, they may not want to think about, you know, quote unquote their job or, you know, their profession anymore. You know, I think there's probably a whole host of other reasons in that many organizations have different computer technologies that they use, different charting technologies. So I think maybe they feel like maybe they're just kind of left out. What am I trying to say? That it's just so their organization and that's it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, some organizations, like the organization up the street, St. John's, uses Epic. Cox Health uses, you know, other programs, and they don't talk to each other. So it's kind of hard to have a chat group and discuss problems if you really don't know who to get a hold of.
And I don't know, too, if it's partly I don't know what the average age of nursing is. I know with paramedics, it's a much younger group, and they are very technologically savvy. I happen to have one as a son, and I know from the floor I'm on, the average age, you can almost draw a line of comfort zone with those who are comfortable with using technology, who think nothing of using their cell phones for everything, and another group who all they use their cell phones for is to make a call on. So right. It may change over time. It would be interesting to track.
I think the average age of the nurse in Missouri is upwards of 50 years old. 5 years ago, it was 47.
That's scary when you think about it, and yeah. That the nursing population is aging. And darn it, I'm too darn close to that median.
Aren't we all? Well, I think they both make really good points, Jamie. And the other thing I would like to say is, you know, nursing education has been a little slow to pick up on that. And so it's still, you know, seated classrooms, and we are using PowerPoints, and we're trying to change all that. The Carnegie Mellon publication, the IOM report is changing how we educate. But when you have nurse educators who are probably on average older than the floor nurses, they've got to adopt that technology too. And the other thing I would say is that they haven't all had my awesome nursing informatics class.
I would agree.
And so let's ask about that. Now, how long, you guys haven't been in the class very long, I'm taking it, well, 5-6 weeks?
Four weeks. It's a six week course.
Yes, it's quick.
It's quick. So you're in this course. Have you found that you've been able to take the information you've learned from Terry and apply it to your practice as a nurse at the current level?
You know, what's interesting to me is prior to taking this class, you know, I knew my organization was trying to go to computerized charting and bringing in EMAR and bringing in CPOE, and, you know, as far as I knew, it was the organization that had a burr in its saddle wanting to go towards this. And then I find out that it is a government mandate that is essentially being pushed. And, you know, I did not know that prior to this class. So now I'm able to have a little more open mind as to the processes and the knowledge that we're going to have to get to our staff, because we're getting ready this year to go to CPOE, go to EMAR, go to new charting systems in my same day in my PACU, and we're also going to a new billing and registration system. And all of this is going to be taking place in the next 12 months. So we're all a little bit pinched up, to say the least.
And I think, too, what it's done for me is not only in the professional avenue, but our patients that we're serving in their families, this is the world they live in too. I think we've talked about sharing. I think some of the online chats have made reference to your recovery room nurse and tweeting another person to let them know their mother was out of recovery. Just all these avenues of communication, and we're just getting to the point of being able to print medication information. I mean, we think that's a huge step, when I do think we're way behind the curveball, and our patients as they get younger. And I think I made reference to this. We had a 16-year-old who didn't understand why he couldn't text message his nurse on her portable Zone phone to tell her when he wanted pain medicine. That's the thought process. That's the brave new world out there that we have to get into. And that's why this course has been good for me.
And what a great idea, because that's, you know, I'm too old, I guess. It never occurred to me either, but it certainly might be a little less obtrusive and annoying than a bell or whatever else buzzer you got going off, or the phone you're carrying around in your pocket ringing every 10 seconds. You know, if it was just a little buzz or something, you could look down and, you know, see a text message from a room. You'd be able to say, hey, I can get back to that person, or I can get somebody to go help them, and acknowledge it very quickly and easily.
You know, and that it would, that type of system that she speaks of would be far more efficient, because you would cut the trips to the patient's room by 50%, because you don't have to answer a call light, go to the room, and then say, may I help you? What do you need? Kind of deal. You know, you already know what you're going into the room for.
You know what? This screams, Terry, this is another one of my research alerts.
Yeah, that's, and it's definitely, it's just how we could text them safely, but then it would be written down. You know, how many times do we as nurses forget something on the list because we have so many distractions? Gosh, that would be great. Yeah. We should get, you know, Kaiser in on this, where they're doing their research on technology in the smart room.
Well, it would save, I mean, think of all those times on the floor. I know you're at one end of the unit and you've got to walk back to the other end of the unit and talk to somebody who just, you know, because you've got to deal with something, and then you find out someone else needs you. And if you could just, you know, if they said, hey, I need some pain medication, and you could text back, what's your pain level?
Yeah.
From 1 to 10, what's your, how bad is it? And they can tell you 7. Well, you know, you've got information there. It was a conversation with your patient. It actually occurred.
That's right.
But it was quick, and it didn't necessarily take you away from the whole project of what you were working on at that moment.
And what if it fed into the chart too and automatically charted that conversation?
Well, no, this is getting us all excited. We're all technology junkies. So,
do you think that type of system would take a fair amount of the personal and face-to-face aspect out of nursing, though?
Not for the younger audience, because that's how they interact.
That's true. That's commonplace for them. That's true.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, you have to, there again, you've got the age barrier, because I don't think you're going to get, I may be wrong, but I'm not sure you're going to get the 80-year-old texting. But as that age group drops off the screen, that, you know, who knows what 10 years from now is going to look like. I try to tell the nurses, you think things are changing quickly now, it will be a different world in probably 5 years.
Yeah.
What's crazy is, you know, it is not the amount of change. That's a big thing, but how fast the change is happening. It's just, it's snowballing so fast.
Well, and it wouldn't be that difficult. I mean, you think about some of the new advances in the smartphone marketplace right now with the video chats that you can do on your phones now. And yeah, that's one phone or a couple of phones that can do that. But we all know how that technology advances. And 5 years from now, most of the phones will have that capability. There will be a more personal connection if you need to.
Be like Buck Rogers.
Now, you know, and there's a lot of people listening to this, Kurt, that have no idea who you're talking about.
Yeah, that's just a name I've heard of. I don't know anything about that.
Now, what do you think about the organizations that are pushing their nurses to move towards BSN training or higher? As BSN is a minimum standard, it's a hot debate. You're all coming out of a diploma program. I'm coming out of an ADN program, an associate's degree program. There are a lot of nurses that are new nurses coming out into the marketplace that would no longer be able to find work in a BSN-only environment. And are we being spoiled by the current bubble where there's still a lot of nurses in the workforce?
I know that there are a lot of nurses frightened by that information, that BSN in 10 white paper from Missouri that calls for at a certain point all new graduates to have their BSN in 10 years. They do take comfort in the fact that there will be a grandfather in clause, but it does strike fear in a lot of hearts.
you know, I've not read that, you know, the basis of that. What would make me nervous is, you know, if they don't get their BSN in 10 years, does that mean they can no longer be a bedside nurse? And what I'm afraid of is, you know, we all know that the healthcare population, the people who are going to be able to give care to the baby boomers, is dwindling about as fast as the baby boomers are rising. So that, I think that would put a huge lurch on the workforce.
I think it's a good idea in some respects. I mean, interesting to look at it, because I know in the teaching environment, at least in the state of Maryland, you have to get your master's degree within a certain time frame. I think it's 10 years after you graduate from your BSN program, or not BSN, but BS program or whatever your teaching degree, you have to achieve master's level status in a certain time frame. And I think that it might be, you know, it might be something that we need to have some standard. Of course, we have a lot of continuing education requirements anyway for most nurses.
Missouri does not. It's one of those states that does not require continuing education. So therein we get into issues. And of course, anything that improves patient outcomes on the other side and improves the opportunities for my students, I am all for. And I like the idea of a BSN in 10, not that we take that 10-year time frame and cut off. It's that we encourage those nurses, and they know coming out that eventually this is going to be what's going to happen. You've got 10 years to do it, and we're going to support you in it. But if it improves what they can do, and sometimes I'm afraid we shortchange our associate degree nurses because they can't immediately just go to graduate school if they want to. They've never had history. They've never had English Comp 2. And those courses help them function on a different level and critically think as far as being leaders or being administrators. And we're going to move away from an acute care model. We've got to. We cannot do a reactionary care anymore. We still need that desperately. But in the push to move to preventative care and a more holistic model, it's going to take nurses to drive that. And the only way they'll take us seriously at the table is if we come just like in education with some preparation.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
What do you say to some of your colleagues that are not in a BSN program or haven't the thought about going on to a BSN program? Do you encourage, now that you're in school, do you think it's something that everyone can achieve?
I do, especially now that there are, you know, 6-week internet classes that we can take. You know, it was pretty challenging to take, you know, 16 weeks worth of class, or 2 or 3 classes in 16 weeks seated. I mean, it was just a huge inconvenience. Travel time, I live 20 miles from where the classes were being held. So, I mean, it was 1 hour of travel just to go to class, and then, you know, anywhere from an hour to 3 hours worth of class. So it was inconvenient and not efficient use of my time.
And then you're working full-time, and family, and everything else.
Right. So this is, you know, like I said, it's been a learning curve, but I've really enjoyed it because it's done on – you know, it's done on my time. I still have projects that I have to get done, but it's, you know, essentially at my convenience.
And I use myself as an example. Guys, if I can do it, anybody can do it. And like Kurt said, how easy it, there's almost, it's, there's no reason not to in terms of convenience. I think the, cost is something that comes to play, because although they get some reimbursement from their employers, it doesn't cover a great deal, which is another issue with the BSN and 10. If that really did get pushed through, I would hope that there would be someone looking at increase in availability of funds to go back and we just don't have enough nursing instructors. So if you're going to have this mass influx of people seeking their BSN, I think that's an issue too. But I think too, the nurses currently don't see the reason why they should get their BSN. Most of them, it would be a 50 cent an hour increase in pay, if at all. So selling the idea is difficult.
It, here, I will say here in Springfield, it's kind of a hard sell. Like you say, 50 cents an hour for your BSN, or you can get your certification in your area of expertise, and it's a dollar an hour. And so pay $350 to sit for a test.
Yeah, it's hard to make that case. And we've had this discussion on different programs before, Terry, and it's come up that there's not that definitive piece of research that shows that a BSN nurse is inherently a better nurse. I think anecdotally you can make a case for better critical thinking, but is there a research that seems to not be conflicting with other studies? Because I know that this has come up with Christy Dreyer before and others when we've had them on the show, and it becomes a big bone of contention between the ADN programs and the BSN programs.
It absolutely does. And actually, there is some monumental research that has just come down in the last 5 to 7 years. And part of that was Linda Aiken's study, where they looked at post-op patient survival rates and morbidity rates. And they were definitely tied to education level. The other thing that happens is that we know that those nurses tend to stay at the bedside longer than someone with an associate degree nurse. Now, we don't understand all the intricacies to that, because there's a lot of things that are very complex within that. The differences of people who choose an associate degree as their entry to practice versus those who don't. You know, I know that for Teresa and Kurt and myself, there were no other options here. You could only get a diploma degree. End of discussion. Right. And so, but those people who have a choice, figuring out the differences, and we are looking even more and more at research. And that was exactly what the IOM report was based on. And it had physicians, and it had public health people, and it had nurses, and it had educators, and it had people from the Robert Wood Johnson. And they compiled evidence. They worked for 3 years writing that and said, finally, you know, this is what we're recommending, and here's why. And I think we'll continue to study that. And I know we're looking at in our program what factors, because, you know, the difficult thing and the right to sell to these nurses is what tangibly, what variables can I show as a difference to these nurses when they come out, and not only that, but to the hospitals to sell, because it's a tough job market. And so we're looking at things like self-efficacy. We're looking at variables like tenacity, view of professional nursing, and all of those things play into that. So we'll see, but there's ongoing research, and what's there already was significant enough to cause this change to be in place. And I think we're going to see some more research. And I don't want to say that we don't. We value our associate degree nurses greatly. They get an excellent education, and I think there is a place for that. But as things get more complicated, and as technology gets more complicated, and the patients get more complicated, and we move from our current model of care, that with that we bring the nurses along with us and we support them. It's not a negative thing, and it's not a turf war. We help those people who are going to come behind us, because we are not all going to be nurses the rest of our lives. We're just not. And so the people that come behind us, what do we want for them? What would be the best educational model for my daughter to enter as a nurse? What would I want for her to get? And that's how I'm approaching this whole, where should we move to? It's not about me anymore. The turf wars are gone. It's not about my original diploma degree. It's about what atmosphere am I creating educationally for the people who are going to come and want to be nurses.
Do we think that, I mean, you make the comment about your daughter, and isn't there an age difference between the nurses that are coming out of the ADN and diploma programs and the BSN nurses? I know in my program, 50% of us were second career people coming back to get a career and degree in nursing. And that's not the case usually in a typical college BSN program, where a lot more of the students are younger, just out of school. Even the young students that were in our program were in their 20s and had been going to school part-time and working full-time and had built up their credits to reach the point where they could apply to the nursing program. So I think there was a maturity level that was different for the nurses coming in at that level.
I think there's definitely some anecdotal truth to that and probably some research truth. The other thing is there were not a lot of accelerated BSN programs. So who wanted to go back for a bachelor's degree when you already had one career and spend another 4 years? And I think as we see accelerated BSN programs crop up more, that dynamic may also change. So we'll see where this goes. We certainly could make it easier for our associate degree students to transition into that degree if they wanted to.
What do you think about the biggest problem you've had with school, Teresa, in getting used to this type of learning environment and just going back to school in general? What's been the biggest hurdle for you?
Well, the first hurdle was taking the first step. And once I made that decision, then it is, I think, literally just being comfortable with the online learning environment, not getting over that fear of doing something wrong or posting something before I meant to post it, or to confess that I really don't know what I'm doing. And then every once in a while you find out, gee, there's somebody else who doesn't really know what they're doing either, and they're asking the same question. And I guess, you know, I'm older, and being among, occasionally we do meet on site, and being with people who are, you know, young enough to be my children, and in fact, some of them I have seen come to my area to work. So I, in that case, I'm their administrator too. So that's a little awkward. I think just taking the first step was the hardest of all. And now each time a new class comes along, it takes me a little while to get comfortable, but learning not to be threatened by it and just take it as it comes.
Kurt, what about you?
I wholeheartedly agree with Teresa that the first step was definitely the hardest, and it gets easier each time I sign up for classes. I'm just, you know, I'm going slow. I had about 11 classes left to take, and so I was just taking one class at a time. And so it makes it easier. I will say I think I am soaking up more information now going slowly than, you know, 12 years ago when I was taking three classes at a time and I was just, you know, cramming through it just to get it done. And I will say probably because of my age and maturity, I am probably taking it a little slower and trying to soak it up again rather than just try to get the grade and move on. But taking the first step was the hardest.
Do you find that as you soak it up, as you put it, that you're able to really definitely apply what you're learning right into the working environment?
Yes, there are a lot of things that I am able to apply to the working environment. I am not I'm not an educator by any means, but part of me wishes that maybe some of the curriculum overall in the universities would change, and maybe help the nurses learn maybe more leadership, more research stuff, maybe scientific, you know, more certification type of stuff about the human body, pathophysiology type stuff, because that can, to me, that can be applied throughout, you know, the rest of your life, instead of, and I may step on some toes here, some nursing theory, you know, taking a class on the various nursing theorists. I guess I'm more of a scientific type of thinker and critical thinker type thing.
Well, I think just within the past year, and so much, many of our policies, and we have some new leadership, they want evidence-based information. So whereas before, we would do something because, frankly, that's the way we always did it, or we took it from an old nursing textbook, but we didn't have any research paperwork to back that up. Now we're being asked, if this is your practice, Where's the evidence behind it? And I see that as a big part of the professionalism of nursing.
They obviously haven't taken my leadership class yet, Jamie. Because that's exactly what we do. So in that leadership class, we work on an evidence-based practice change paper. And instead of writing about theory, I take my students through the process of, okay, at work, it could be as simple as whether we give blankets to someone who has a fever or not, or where we put the glass container so that we're not throwing glass into the sharps container and by weight. And we take them through that process. Where's the evidence to support this change? How will it affect? Of course, we have to speak cost always in the healthcare systems. How much will your change cost versus how much will it save eventually in the end? And we go through some of those things. And I definitely agree with both what Kurt and Teresa are saying. And there has got to be practical application, or these students will, one, never buy in, and two, they'll never use their education. There's no point in it. It's a waste of time. And all of the evidence we currently have is saying, yes, bachelor's education should be very evidence-based and not as much huge paradigm, theoretical, viewpoint-based, because we've got to be able to apply it and then have proof for why that's good. But don't let them kid you. They're both phenomenal students.
Oh, I'm sure they are. I mean, I think it's great that they took the time to be on this program and have this discussion. I think this is I think this type of discussion is as important as anything else, and I hope that both of you continue to be involved in some kind of online nursing discussion, because I have found just an amazing number of nursing friends, colleagues, and mentors in different aspects of my nursing career just through these online resources. I mean, heck, Terry, I didn't know you before 6 months ago, and we talk quite a bit now.
It's true. Is that good or bad for you, Jamie? Sorry about that.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I always look forward to hearing from you and your viewpoint on things.
I know, because I always have one.
No, well, there aren't too many nurses without an opinion.
That's true. That's why we're so good. When we are all the benevolent dictators of the world, all will be right.
If they'd only let us run things, things would be so much better.
Yep.
They will when we all finish our degrees.
That's right.
Now, I mean, you talk about evidence-based learning. I mean, part of that is being able to critically read research, which is not something that is taught at the ADN level. And how much is it covered in the BSN level?
Lots.
Yeah, it is covered. How to pick through a research article.
You start looking at the statistics and you start realizing that the conclusions are based on numbers that aren't quite as earth-shattering as their conclusion might lead you to believe. You know, you see the headlines in the news, and you know, the public in general accepts the headline as gospel. And you go and look at the research, and there's flawed policy in there. There's flawed ways that they conducted the survey or the study or whatever.
But all, you know, sad to say, if you dig deep enough, it all comes right back around to money.
Well, maybe it comes right back around. I don't know. Oh, money. Yeah, I agree with you.
You know, it all. That's generally the basis for many research situations. So then you got to find out who's backing the situation. If someone told me, or you know, told me they would back me, if I did a research article, if I drove my car down the street backwards, you know, I'd definitely do my best to come up with the answer they were looking for if they were spending money for me.
However, the interesting thing about nursing research in general is that it has not been adulterated that way, because we don't write prescriptions and we don't do surgery. So, you know, pharma and all of those things. And there is very little funding for nursing research. And so
we don't have any money.
That's right. And so it's very interesting that, and we are the only ones who study things like what is the most efficient layout of an ICU so that you can see the patient, so that mortality is better, so that workflow. I mean, who else is going to study that except for us? And nobody's going to pay for that research or, yeah. you know, the hand washing and that sort of thing. And so we're good. Nurses rock.
I don't think you'll get any arguments from anybody on this panel. Certainly, I think it's interesting. When I look at nursing research, one of the things that I'm always struck by when I look at nursing research is the simplicity of the solution to a problem. It always seems like it's that little thing, something that we didn't really think about until somebody took the time to study something that we'd done forever, always this way. And they found that if we just made a little bit of change, that we could have an increase in patient positive outcomes. And that's one of the things I love about nursing, is that it is that one-on-one care. It is that those little things that we do for the patients that really improve their outcome.
I agree with that. I think also you have the research that backs up what nurses know, but they can't convince anybody of the truth of it. And I don't recall the reference immediately, but studies done on how much time nurses spend at bedside versus how much time they spend charting versus how much time they're in front of the computers. And these are voices finally put on paper. What nurses have been trying to tell administration is, this is my life, and having research to back it up, it's important.
Well, one piece of advice as we kind of wind things down here, one piece of advice would you offer to that adult learner, that nurse that's looking at going back to school, maybe soon after they graduate from their initial program, or perhaps 10, 15, 20 years down the road, what would that advice be? Kurt, go ahead.
Well, you know, whenever I see Terry's emails that say, you know, what first thing I would tell them is to go for it. Just put your head down and get with it and make the most of it. You know, every time I see Terry's quote at the end of the emails from Eleanor Roosevelt, do one thing every day that scares you, it makes me think of a magnet that I have in my office, quoting Winston Churchill, that says, if you're going through hell, keep going.
I like
so
that.
Basically, don't stop, because, you know, the option of stopping is you're just going to burn up. So just keep going. So that's kind of the motto I operate under.
And I would just say, you will always find an excuse not to, but when you finally reach the point where the excuses are gone, you just do it. You step off the ledge and you just do it, and you will not regret it. It will be the most inspiring thing that you can do in your career.
That's like Teresa said earlier, the first step is definitely the toughest.
Yeah, and you need to make the decision you're actually going to do it. I think that's something that I think people that – my experience when I talk to nurses that have gone back to school, Kim McAllister talks about this all the time. Once she decided and once she started back to school, it wasn't nearly as bad as she thought it was going to be. And she really enjoyed it and became much more invigorated about her nursing profession again that she hadn't been for a long time.
Absolutely.
You can stagnate, that's for sure.
Terry, do you have any final thoughts as we wrap up, something you share with students as you counsel them in through their program?
You know, I think Kurt and Teresa just did a beautiful job wrapping this up. And my job at this point is, I love teaching in an RN to BSN program because I do get seasoned nurses who have experience and who are passionate about their profession, or they would not be here. And I learn as much or more from them. And I'm not necessarily the teacher. I'm kind of more the guide. And it is just, it's an honor. And I wouldn't trade this job for anything. I think I probably have the best nurse educator job that there is. And so when these students come to me, I am their peer and we are doing this together. And if they don't learn something that they can take out of it and share to inspire them, then we haven't done our job.
Well, go ahead, Kurt. You had something else to say?
All I was going to say is, I've never even really personally met Terry, but what has amazed me is how much positive reinforcement she does give to her students, and it just kind of encourages us to, strive and push a little harder and try to dig a little deeper. And, that's, to me, that's a sign of a good leader to, she doesn't just send out the assignment and say, turn it in. She's keeping us updated, and that's the sign of a good leader to check back how are things going and positively reinforce the people.
Well, I want to thank all of you for joining us and the listeners of the Insights in Nursing show, and sharing this with them. I know there are nurses out there listening to this that are going to be encouraged to go on and find ways to improve their degrees. And heck, Terry, probably look up your online program to see if they can get involved. It's certainly been a great way to promote what you're doing, Terry. And I think there are some great programs out there in many different schools, but you certainly get a free plug here. So where do you teach?
Oh, excellent. Well, I have the honor of teaching in the College of Nursing at Southwest Baptist University. And I work with a great group of faculty. So it's not my gig. I just am here to help execute. So, and that's where these students come from.
Well, one of the things I think people have is a fear of what the program is going to be like, and hearing some students talk about a specific program and do so glowingly, I think, is a pretty good endorsement for that program. So I'm happy to just share a little bit about it so that folks can know where what you're talking about. Maybe they'll go check it out online. I want to thank everybody. Terry, just tell everyone where they can find you online real quick.
Oh, yeah. I have my little blog opinions at nursestory.com, and I'm on Twitter. I'm online nursing.
And I'm Kurt and Teresa. You haven't started blogging yet, I guess, right?
I do have a blog. It is a WordPress account, and it is K Harder RN.
K Harder RN. Well, I'm going to add that to my blog role. That's great.
It's an assignment in class, Jamie.
Oh, is it?
You stole my thunder.
Oh, I'm sorry. Good job, Kurt.
Yes, but it is an assignment. I'm pen and paper RN.
Great. Well, I'll send an email out so you guys can send me the links, and we'll include it in the show notes so people can go check out your blogs. And I hope that I hope it's not just an assignment for you. It is really, I think there's something cathartic about sharing your nursing experience with others, nurses, patients, family members online, in kind of that way where when something occurs to you to ask a question about or to talk about or to inform about, it's a great resource that I don't think nurses take advantage of as much as they should. So I encourage both of you to continue on and use the blog as a resource for you to share with others what's going on in your nursing career.
Well, it's been very interesting to me how, like you say, how cathartic it is. A lot of people, nurses go home and they feel like they're kind of an island stuck out there without any support. But, I'm gaining information that, everybody, there's a lot of people in the same boat I am, and we can solve a lot of problems together.
Yes, through Twitter, too, Jamie. They're loving that as well.
You guys participated in an RN chat or IV chat or something like that?
Oh, yes, another assignment.
Well, she's making it sound like it's no fun at all. It's
Jamie, it's like it's White Castle burgers for these kids. They either love them or hate them, but in the end, they have a new appreciation either way. So,
well, and it's, I don't like White Castle burger if we're going to go that way.
I know, me neither.
Well, I want to thank you all. We'll definitely have a link in the show notes to your blogs, and I'm looking forward to getting over there and reading them myself. And I'll just close out and say, I'm Jamie Davis. You can find me over at nursingshow.com for one of my programs. Of course, this show at insightsinnursing.com. And those shows are all part of the ProMed Network. And so if you're looking for high-quality healthcare content by healthcare professionals of a variety of types, from virology and neurology through nursing, EMS, physician-based. I think we have a physical therapy podcast on there. So there is all kinds of stuff to be available, and you can find that at promednetwork.com. If you want to get back in touch with me, you can reach me here, and I will forward any emails you send to anybody on the panel. So send those emails in to insightsinnursing@gmail.com. And again, don't forget to check out the website and follow the links in the show notes to check out Kurt's and Teresa's blogs. And of course, Terry's excellent blog, nursestory.com. Just all kinds of great stuff going on over there. And you can find all of that at insightsinnursing.com.